It's Sound Ideas. The revelations about Harvey Weinstein's decades of behavior as a sexual predator has set off conversations and sparked many opinion pieces about whether Weinstein represents, as one feminist activist put it, the silent prevalence of everyday sexism. WGLT correspondent Colleen Reynolds talks with one woman who has spoken nationally about violence in the workplace, but who has not spoken publicly until today about her own horrifying experience.
Let's establish what you do for a living and how you were initially tapped by State Farm to be involved.
Okay, thanks, Colleen. Well, I am the executive director of the Corporate Alliance to End Partner Violence, and what we do is work with employers to address domestic violence and sexual assault as workplace issues. When I was approached by some State Farm execs to interview for the position, I had never thought about the intersection of domestic violence in the workplace. But as soon as they talked to me about it, it made a lot of sense to me, because if you have that going on at home, that's going to impact your work life, your home life, your health, all kinds of things. And it's been really neat to see the question change from when I started the job in 1997, companies saying, why should I do something about this? To now, the question is, I know I should do something about this. I'm just not sure what to do.
So you have been on the national stage and have worked with big organizations, the NFL, probably the most prominent, Avon, Verizon, to try to help them with their policies and to change workplace culture as well. And so I'm sure with this Harvey Weinstein story and allegations now from, I think it's up to 40 women, it certainly begs the question, will this, in your mind, as Reese Witherspoon suggested, raise consciousness and really help create change?
You know, I think it will. I think it may be small steps, but I liken it to the terrible video of Ray Rice assaulting his now wife, and that making a sea change in the conversation about domestic violence and sexual assault and what's not appropriate. And rather than people saying, as they would have maybe when I started my job, well, that's a terrible thing that happened, but it's none of my business because it's a private affair, people would not stand for it. And it caused a national conversation about that issue that I had never seen before, and in the community of just people going through their life and people coming forward and sharing their story. So I think in this same way, the sea change that I saw there, I'm hoping becomes a wave here.
And I think what's going to maybe contribute to that sea of change is definitely the conversations that seem to be sparked by the Me Too hashtag, which has been trending on Twitter. Millions of women, hundreds of men stepping forward to share their stories of either sexual harassment and or sexual assault. And when you first saw that, what did you think?
To be very honest, when I first saw it, because it's something that would commonly be something we would share as part of work or something, I was reticent to do anything about it to post it. I had to really think, because I have this very personal experience, and I really sort of had to make a decision in my mind. If I post Me Too, I know what I mean, but nobody else does. Only really my husband knew. And so it was a powerful thing to me, because then I thought, well, if I don't post this, I'm not standing up and talking when that's kind of my job, and I don't want to be silent. And I was amazed at the number of people who had Me Too hashtags. And honestly, of all people, I probably shouldn't be surprised because of the work that I do, but it was still just amazing to see person after person after person after person saying Me Too, men and, you know, women and men, both. It was very powerful to me.
So you first started, I'm imagining, scrolling through, you're on Twitter, you're seeing all of these. Take us through the deliberation process that you had internally, and maybe even in talking with your husband about, maybe I should finally reveal what happened to me when I haven't done that, despite the kind of work I have been doing.
You know, it's interesting. I don't know why. This is something that happened to me when I was in graduate school. So it was a very long time ago, and I didn't live in the area at that time. I don't know why. Maybe it was the point I am in my life that I feel more comfortable because I didn't do anything wrong, and so I'm not ashamed. Or it was there. You feel like there's this sea change of people also saying Me Too, and all these people saying, I believe you, that I just felt like it's time to say what happened to me when I didn't even realize that what happened to me was A, a crime, and B, something I should report to my employer. And I can get into more of it if you want me to.
And that's certainly up to you how much detail you want to provide. You mentioned this happened when you were not in the Bloomington Normal community and you were relatively young. So where was this and how young were you?
I was in graduate school, and I had three jobs when I was in graduate school. And one of them was a telemarketing job. And there was a guy who worked on my shift, and I worked in an evening shift because I was, you know, was in school. He attacked me, got me in my car, locked me in my car, and sexually assaulted me. And it's so strange to say, it didn't enter my mind to tell the workplace. It didn't enter my mind to tell the police. I didn't tell anybody for a long time, except what I did tell, and this is part of that thing that we talk about, women have sort of that underground railroad of, you know, avoid this, don't go there, don't talk to this person. I told people stay away from him. And it didn't strike me, I think, probably until I had this job. You know, sexual harassment is a separate important issue, but this was a sexual assault at work. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's illegal. But I think because you put something away because you don't want to think about it and you don't want your life defined by it, that I didn't even sort of have it in my consciousness. And then now, for whatever reason, I could be ready now to say, hey, me too. And this is what happened to me.
So the guy, was he somebody who had made some sexual advances or sexually harassing statements before this occurred?
No, I would say he was the kind of person who would flirt with people, but I didn't have any interest or anything in him. So I was very, and I'm a very friendly person, so I wouldn't think much of a person talking to you. And he was a coworker. He wasn't a manager. He wasn't on my team either. But, you know, you see the person around. So I it really was a truly a shock. I mean, it was a shock on many levels. And the thing that bothers me, Colleen, about not saying anything then, and I have to live with it, and it's another reason I want to say it now, is I didn't tell anybody. So I don't know how many other people he might have done this to. If I had said something at work, it might have stopped that from happening to somebody else. And that, to me, is a powerful point about using your voice to be heard, partly for your own experience and partly to say to somebody else, you know, it's not okay if this happened to you, and to make sure that people are safe.
As this is happening to you, what kind of thoughts are going through your mind, or did you sort of
it's
leave
a dissociative,
your body?
Just left myself. I think you've heard people say before, you feel like you're above the situation. And I just kept thinking, when's this going to be over? When's this going to be over? When's this going to be over? And I swear, I don't think the dude, and what's frightening about that is I don't think the guy thought he did anything wrong. I think that's a person, it sounds very SVU-like, but I think he didn't know that that wasn't okay. I mean, I never talked to him again.
When this is occurring, are you trying to fight? Are you saying no? Are you questioning? Or are you just saying, this is happening?
I got to get you through it. I got to get through it. I mean, that was my choice or my decision or whatever. The guy was very big. He was a big, tall, strong guy. And he, like I said, had locked me in my car. And I just thought, I just have to get through this. I just have to get through this. I just have to get through. Because at first you're like, this is a person I know. What in the world are they doing? So, that was my choice, was just get through it.
And then you go home?
Mm-hmm. Didn't tell my parents. I was living at home when I was in grad school. Didn't tell my parents. Didn't tell anybody, I think, until I told Mike. We've been married for almost 25 years, so I told him probably fairly early on. And he's a wonderful person to talk to about something like that, because he's a wonderfully supportive, caring person. And after that, I think I just sort of put it away.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Colleen Reynolds talking with Kim Wells, Executive Director of the Corporate Alliance to End Partner Violence. Wells recently used the Me Too hashtag and is relaying the story of when she, as a grad student, was sexually assaulted in the parking lot of her workplace. The women who you told, the coworkers, the female coworkers.
That I said, stay away from this guy. He's bad. That seemed to be enough for people, which is interesting. That seemed to be enough for people. I didn't have to say, because he got me in my car. I just said, don't hang out with him. Don't date him.
So you didn't go into details
what
happened?
Mm-mm. I wish I would have. I wish I would have, because what I'm afraid of is that because I didn't, that could have happened to somebody else. I wish I would have. But I was at the point in my life I was at. It was my early 20s. I just didn't even have a concept. I think now, a person of that age now would know, I hope, and more conversations like this, would know that's not okay what happened to you. That's actually a crime, and your employer needs to know. But that's being a 20-year-old brain then. I think things are different now.
Or at least you hope.
I hope they're different now. You know, you were talking about some of the companies that I work with, and I have to say that I know there are places like that, workplaces that are so committed to changing a culture around domestic violence and sexual assault, that I have hope that that message gets out a lot more. Gosh, the education that students get when they first come to ISU about sexual assault and where to get help just makes a huge difference.
Not to be too dramatic here, but have you thought about where that guy is today?
Yes, I have. I have thought a lot about it. I've thought a lot about it and wondered and hoped that I'm the only one.
And have you thought about what you would say to him if you saw him today?
Yes.
Do you have the speech in your head?
I definitely do. I just want to say that if this has ever happened to anybody, you know, you're not alone. It is not your fault. You didn't cause it. And when you're ready to talk, there are great places in the community like Stepping Stones that can talk with you.
That's the power of what can happen with a Me Too hashtag, right?
Oh, I think the Me Too, for me, the Me Too was a, like, really an intersection kind of turning point for myself about sharing the story. Absolutely powerful. I want to say two things I think are important. First of all, this doesn't just only happen to women. It happens to men. 1 in 6 guys, by the time they're 18, has some sort of unwanted sexual advance on them. So that's huge. That's 1 in 6 is actually an organization that helps guys out to deal with that. And I know that the CDC had a study where it was about 20% of guys that in a study they did reported. So it's an everybody's issue, just like domestic violence is. It's everybody's issue. We all need to stand up against it, and we can all do something about it.
You know, lots of people are writing and talking about this, and I have a friend who's a writer, and she wrote a blog, and in it she talked about a male friend who commented that he was shocked about all the women he knew who had posted with the hashtag. I'm actually going to read directly from what she wrote. He wondered how he didn't know how endemic this issue was in a woman's life. And then she writes, I was shocked, but not about the number of women affected. I was shocked. He was shocked. I figured everyone knew that this was just part of a woman's life.
That's powerful. But, you know, it shouldn't be part of a woman's life. It shouldn't be something to just get through. And I feel like if anything happens as a result of the terrible things that have happened with Harvey Weinstein and the stories people have shared, it's that people will stop being shocked and people will start changing the culture.
It is amazing how many high-profile women and even men, I'm thinking of Terry Crews, are telling their stories now.
Yeah, I think that that's powerful, too. You know, Terry Crews, if you don't know who he is a giant former NFL football player who's now an actor. And he was just sexually assaulted or groped, or I don't really know exactly how to say it, just a year ago. I mean, this is a big, strong, strapping guy who had this happen to him. And I think that's really powerful because I think just like very much like with domestic violence, people just it happens to people like this. It happens to people who aren't powerful. It happens to people who it can happen to anybody. And I think that is a good, hard lesson.
Do you think that men hearing the Terry Crews story will kind of get it? That here you've got a powerful man who stays silent and doesn't know what to do?
I think that then in itself is really powerful because I think people do much better understanding something when they can put themselves in the shoes of whatever it is they're learning about. And I think that, I think, will make a huge difference too. Yeah.
So going forward, how should men be responding and women be responding to people sharing their stories, and what more can they do to be supportive and help change the culture?
Well, I think that believing people, I believe you, thank you for telling me, that took a lot of courage to share that. It's funny, those are the things I say for people to do for other people, are really important. I think also calling it when you see it, you know, sexual assault at work, obviously, but sexual harassment sometimes can seem subtle, or, you know, that's just locker room talk, but calling each other on that and saying, that's not cool, that's not okay, I'm not going to tolerate it. Because when we do that, when there's the social pressure to not behave that way, or you're going to be ostracized, that also makes a difference inside of the person who thinks it's an okay thing to do.
And most importantly for people hearing this interview, do you want to leave any final thoughts?
I think that if there's somebody out there who's been through this, I just want to say, we believe you. We support you. You don't have to tell your story. That's your choice. I think that's also important, is we shouldn't expect people to share when they're not ready to or they don't choose to. That's their choice. As much of the control and the power as that person can have in their own life about these issues. But if it's at work or related to work, there are choices with reporting through your procedures at your workplace. There's also the Illinois Department of Human Rights that, you know, looks into these violations, and then the EEOC. I know that's a lot of steps, but I want people to feel like they have choices and they have power if that's what they choose to do.
Well, Kim Wells, a difficult interview, and we really appreciate you choosing to talk with us about it and with our listeners.
Well, thanks, Colleen. I appreciate it.
GLT's Colleen Reynolds talking with Kim Wells, the executive director of the Corporate Alliance to End Partner Violence.